also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, that I should be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you again for this time of worship, Lord, this March time of worship. Time is flying, Lord. We're almost one-third done, one-quarter done with the year, Lord. But Lord, you're there forever. You are forever. And we just pray that this time of worship, you help us just put aside all other things on our mind and in our lives, and that we are able to focus on you and you only. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Did you have a good sleep last night? I saw a lot of heads knocking, but I also see a lot of heads shaking. Okay. Well, no matter you are knocking or shaking your head, you lost 1 hour of sleep, right? Yeah. Do you know exactly how many seconds for that 1 hour? Can you count? Just when you are scrambling to count out. Let's see a commercial here, okay? Well, you may wince at the exaggeration you know, of this commercial. Yes, it is. However, it does reflect one thing, one deep desire of our heart. When we are at a time of chaos, when we are at a time of turmoil, we all look for certainty. We all look for stability. We all look for something or somebody that we can rely on and count on. Right? Good for us. We Christians, we deeply believe the Bible is the clear direction that leads us to God. We also deeply believe the Bible is a roadmap for the course of life that He has designed for you and for me. It's error-free, it is true, and we can live. We rely on it with our whole heart. This is very important, particularly in this age full of misinformation, alternate information, fallacy, or whatever thing, you know, out there. It's very important. We need something that we are sure and that we can count on. If you recall, a couple of weeks ago, we explored Psalm 19, verse 1 to 6. And as I explained last time, Psalm 19, 1 to 6, talk about God reveal himself. He speaks to us through his creation. Although you didn't hear any sound, but you know the very existence of his creation, of the universe, of all the nature stuff, give us that general revelation that God exists. And he's a God, he's a Lord of this universe. Now, we don't stop at verse 6. So today, we will continue to explore Psalm 19. This time, we will continue to explore verse 7 to 14. Thanks all for reading out for us. While we're exploring, you know, Psalm 19 today, we will focus mainly on his special revelation, which is the Bible, which is his word, right? And with three focuses. Number one, I hope that with what we study today, we can understand the weight of God's word, the importance of God's word. The second thing is, what is his word's relationship with our life? What does he have to do with our life? And the third thing, we want to explore together how we can rely on it to live our daily life. So that's what we are going to do today. Well, if we believe the Bible is true and correct, what do we actually believe? As a denomination of the evangelical, CNMA firmly believe the Bible is the Word of God. It is truly, fully dependable. Now, it can be reflected on our faith statement, section 1.4. Now, in case you want to see more about our faith statement, you can go to the CNMA website or you can come to our church own website and you will find this out. What section 1.4 talks about is the Old and New Testaments in Aaron and as originally given were verbally inspired by God and are a complete revelation of His will for the salvation of man. They constitute the divine and only rule of Christian faith and practice. Now, with this statement of faith, actually there are three very important points that we need to pay attention to. The first thing is, the Bible is God's revelation and it is error-free. It is God's revelation through inspiring the writer, by the Holy Spirit. Now, we believe the Bible is error-free. We don't just make up something and believe it that way. The basics of our such a belief is that it's God. Is that God is a perfect God? Is that God is a powerful God? Is that God knows everything? And also, is that God is so faithful to what He has said and what He has done? And because of all this good nature of God, His word is truly reliable. Not that watch, but God Himself. This concept is also endorsed by Jesus. In John 17, verse 17, Jesus prayed for the disciple to the God Father, and He said, "Father, sanctify them in the truth." And what is the truth? And He said, "Your word is truth." So Jesus is endorsing that God's word is truth. When we say something is truth, that means there's something, there's no error inside. And on the other hand, on the same night, Jesus also, not on the same night, sometimes before that night, when Jesus was having a dialogue with the religious leader, and they challenged Him whether they should observe every single thing that the Lord God has given them through the Bible. And Jesus said this. He said, "Scripture cannot be broken." So that way, Jesus is affirming the authority of the Bible. Absolute authority. Jesus used a word, verse 35. Jesus said, "The scripture cannot be broken." Now, in the original text, what is cannot be broken? Cannot be broken means a cannot be argued. You cannot argue with it because it's absolute truth. And it cannot be rejected. Now, sometimes you may say, "Okay, I don't want to argue with that. I just, ignore you." No, it cannot be rejected. It's absolute truth. Because the Bible is God's revelation and is error-free. And also what we believe is the number two point. The Bible is God's complete revelation of salvation. It is complete, and therefore there's no need to add anything to make it more complete. It is complete, and therefore it is the whole picture. It is the ultimate version, and it is the only version. On the night before Jesus went on the cross, Jesus asked the Holy Spirit to come upon his disciples after He ascended to heaven. And He gave this promise to His disciples. He said, "The Holy Spirit will come to help you to understand all the truth. He said, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. When Jesus said all the truth, He is not quite clear here, but actually He is talking about all the truth about the salvation. All the truth God has appointed Jesus to demonstrate, to show to human beings that what is salvation, what is the plan for salvation, and how we can receive this salvation. Everything about this salvation has been demonstrated by Jesus Himself. That's why we call Jesus the ultimate reservation. It's the ultimate revelation of God. It's complete. All we need to do is not to find out whether we need any supplement to make it more full. No. All we need to do is to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit so that we can understand, so that we can live it out. That's what Jesus said here. The Bible is already a complete revelation. You and I only need to receive. We don't need to doubt about it. Number three, the Bible is also God's instruction for us Christians, for our faith and for our lifestyle. That is supported by a very famous passage that you and I probably have read it, you know, many, many times, right? When Jesus was tempted by Satan, He quoted the Bible to rebuke what Satan had said. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by the very word that comes from the mouth of God. The word that comes from the mouth of God is God's word. That is the Bible. That is Jesus' endorsement, affirmation of the importance of the Bible. It's very clear here that that's all we believe. You come to a CNMA church and as a part of the family, we all believe in this. Do you believe in this? Yeah, they say, after now, they say, okay, all right, I understand. Now, after we understand, after we know that the Bible is error-free, but what does it have to do with me? What does it have to do with me? That's why this morning we come to Psalm 19. In verse 7 to verse 9, David is talking about the Bible, he talking about the Word of God, and he used six very, very prominent words to describe. He said, God's Word is the law. God's Word is the testimony. God's Word is the precepts. And God's Word is commandment, fear, and rule. He said, hey, wait a minute, what is fear? Fear means it is morality. It's the standard of its morality, or the moral standard is so high. It's so real. And the rules means that God's judgment is so correct. All reflected through His word. And David did not just come up with six words, six jargons. We use jargons a lot, right? In our living. David did not just stop at using the jargon to describe God's word. He sees through the face value of this jargon, and actually he sees inside the substance behind them. And he sees God's power behind these six jargons, and he do see the merits of we human beings when we receive God's power. You can look at that. From verse 8 and verse 7, it's talking about one thing. God's word can revive our soul. It's a soul reviving. Now, when David sees a soul reviving power, you see that God's power has a cleansing power. It can heal our soul. It can restore our soul. It can also forgive us. If we taint our soul with our sins, God is faithful. God said, whoever confess and admit his sin, God is so faithful. He is going to forgive us and he's going to wash it clean. That's his promise. And the Bible has cleansing power that can revive the soul. The Bible can also make wise the simple. Now here, when we say simple, in those days, not everybody have a chance to receive education. A lot of them are just, you know, Joe citizen, you know, they do the work, you know, they worship God, but they seldom have chance to receive education. So we call them simple people. And David said, don't worry. Even though you are considered a simple person, but if you are humble enough to receive God's word into your life, you will receive the sophistication that comes with God's word. Your life will have depth from this point on, because if you are humble enough to receive God's word, to embrace God's word into your life. David also talked about God's word can rejoice people's heart. When we trust, when we rely on God's word to live our life, it gives us joy in our life. David is not talking about, you know, something, you know, that it makes you happy. You know the difference between happy and joy, right? Joy is something that comes from the inside of yourself. Happy could be you watch a funny movie, you laugh your heart out, and then, you know, a couple hours later, you know, everything's gone. But when you have a joy deep in your heart, you smile all the day, you're excited all the day. God's word is there something that gives you the inner peace, inner joy. My wife and I are so happy in the last couple of weeks. When my son-in-law texted me a couple of weeks ago, and he said, Dad and Mom, Will is going to get baptized in March 17. Will is my oldest grandson. I'm so happy to hear this. And Frida said, I have never seen you so excited, you know, jumping around. And yes, I'm excited. I'm very happy. Not that, oh yeah, the kingdom of God, you know, have one more member. Yes, I'm happy about that. But the more important thing that bring me that real joy is that Will, you know, this young man, 14 years old, he, not only that he decided to accept Christ, you know, that was a while ago, and he has decided to publicly witness to people that, yes, this is my faith. Yes, this is the Lord I deeply trust in, and I am going to embrace him throughout my life. That brings me joy. Seeing a young man find the real meaning of life, that gives me joy. Not a hilarious movie, a funny video, you know, can bring. God's word can bring joy, probably, you know, more than, you know, just your grandson get baptized. He can bring you the real inner peace, inner happiness. And also God's word can give light to people's eyes. When we receive God's joy, we receive the power so that we recognize the blessing, you know, behind God's word. A lot of time we read the Bible, we feel that, wow, it's so boring. I only see the text. I only see a bunch of words. But when we really, really, you know, dig into it, and when the Holy Spirit opened up our eyes, enlighten our eyes, we finally see that, oh, it's beyond those texts. It is a blessing behind it. It is beneficial to us. And David didn't stop there. In verse 10, he said, wow, God's word is very precious too. Listen to me, people. It's very precious. It is more variable than all the things that we are pursuing throughout our life. That's what he said. He said, more to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and dripping of the honeycomb. He used two things here, two objects here, to represent the thing that, you know, we human beings pursue in our life. Gold, we all understand, is about wealth, right? But what is honey? I have diabetes, you know, honey is no good for me. No, honey is our leisure. We all want gratification. We all want to enjoy certain things. And honey in those days, yes, it is precious, but honey, what people pursue after, is not just the honey itself, but all the satisfactions, all the good feeling when they enjoy a pure honey. Have you tried honey before? Those of you who've been to New Zealand, you know, when you try the Manuka, you know, honey, wow, you can tell. Just one drop on your taste, you will never forget about it. Don't believe in me? Go there and try yourself. If you can't, you still have a chance. I don't want to say which store. There are some stores in the United States, you go there, find out Manuka honey. You pay a high price, a premium for it, but it's worth it. Honey, we all want something. It's treasure. David understands this. They understand God's word is beneficial. He understands God's word is very variable. And I have to understand this. He opened up himself, fully embraced God's word and the life-transforming power behind it. So David said in verse 11 to 13, he said, moreover, by them is a servant warned, your word warned me. In keeping them, there's great reward. He finally can see, you know, there's a reward behind God's word when he keep them. Who can discern his error? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. You may notice here, David called himself servant. David called himself servant. But remember, in reality, David is a king of the whole country. Okay? So when David, as a king, he called himself servant, number one, represent his real humility inside. And when he is in front of the Almighty God, he really pay respect to God. King, even a king of a country, he called himself servant. When you call yourself servant, means that the person that you refer to yourself as a servant is your master, right? Is your Lord. So David is paying a very humongous respect to God. And on the other hand, he called himself a servant, means that as a servant, he's there, he's ready, he's willing to listen, to follow whatever the master tell him and ask him to do. So that is David. In verse 12, David also admits one thing, that I have limitation. Who can discern his own error? I have blind spot. There are a lot of things, you know, I don't know. So he humbly admits. He did not insist on his wrong. He did not insist on his ignorance. He just surrounded himself before the Lord. And he also pleaded for God's help in verse 13. He said, well, can you keep me back from presumptuous sin so that they will not rule over me? Using today's word, David is saying that, Lord, help me, bail me out from this sin. This sin could be my arrogance, could be my self-centeredness, could be my negligence of you, your word, your existence, your command. So Lord, forgive me. keep me back from this. So David set an example for us. Not only that he respect God's word, not only that he study God's word, not only that he highly regard God's word. If you go back to verse 11 to 13, he fully embraced God's word because he know that unless he has an interaction with God's word, he will not be able to fully benefit by it. And in fact, it's more important that unless he fully embraced God's word, he will not have a true worship, true respect for God. Remember, all God wants us is not lip service for him. All God wants us is he's so delighted if we are going to rely on him to practice his word. Because when we rely on him and trust him to live our life, our experience will deepen our relationship with him, and therefore we are one step closer to fully depend on him to live our life. That's what we have. That's what David's example has set for us. And then you might say, well, you know, I know what David is doing. But tell me more specific about me. How should I live? Or in what way should I live? It's a way, it's a life of total reliance on God. We all know about Billy Graham, right? We know him. We know that he is an evangelist, but anyone of us know that he was once the principal of a seminary. He was also once the executive director for Youth for Christ. He invented the coffee shop ministry in the 50s that we today in 2024 are still using the same model. We were using it, you know, for 70 years. 80 years almost. People see Billy Graham, you know, say, wow, this is a guy who must know the Bible inside out. So one time, a person came to Billy Graham and asked him, hey, sir, do you fully understand the Bible that you read? Think about this. You come to a principal of a seminary and you ask him, do you understand the Bible? It's not my Sunday school teacher come to me and ask me, hey, do you know this? The real agenda for that person to ask that question actually is they're asking, hey, Bill, do you believe in what you read? Right? We Asians, we know this, you know, we know how to decorate our questions, you know, make it look nice, but inside, go after your gut. Do you actually, as a principal of a seminary, do you actually believe in the Bible? How do you answer if you are Billy Graham? That's what he answered. He humbly and genuinely say this, not all the times. Not all the times. That takes a lot of humility for a famous evangelist, for the seminary principal to say this. Not all the time I can understand the Bible. But that's what he said here. But even if I don't understand, I believe in it. The Bible is the word of God. That is the only reason I believe in it. And the last sentence, if you can write this down and write it down on your hand or in your Bible, I think to me it's very helpful. He said, when in doubt, I accept it by faith. Brothers and sisters, this is what we can see from a life of rely on God. When Billy said this, he's basically expressing that I fully believe he is a God of truth. Though I don't understand, but I fully accept the truth that he revealed to me. I refuse, once again, I refuse to decide whether I will believe just because I don't understand. You hear me? I refuse to not believe in the Bible just because I don't understand it. Because I'm a finite human being. If I can explain God inside out, I am God, why don't I have to believe in him? Right? He's a transcendent God. That's exactly behind this word. He also affirmed that God is a transcendent God. He is way beyond us. We are human beings. He's way beyond us. So he refused to allow a human limitation to decide to not only decide that we whether we believe in it. Our limitation, he refused to let our limitation to block the way that God's teaching can come into our life. That is the attitude of Billy Graham towards the Bible. Then say, hey, we are talking about Psalm 19. Then what does David do? Did he do something similar? That's what David did. In verse 14, David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. David, after opening up himself before God, fully embraced God's word and asking God to use his word to transform his life. Here, David started to call God my rock and my Redeemer. You know what a rock is, right? When you go out to a hiking and all of a sudden, you know, there's a thunderstorm. You try to find your shelter. A big rock is a good place for as a shelter. But only you go under that rock. A rock can never be your shelter from that thunderstorm. Same thing, Redeemer. When you're in danger, I don't know how to swim. So if just in case somebody, you know, dump me into the swimming pool, I will yell, I will cry, I will ask the lifeguard to help me because he's my Redeemer. The issue is, unless when he throw me the life ring, unless I hold on to the life ring, he won't be my Redeemer. The lifeguard cannot save my life. David here, he said, oh Lord, you are my rock, you are my Redeemer. David is saying that, I am totally relying on you. I'm totally submitted to you. Here I am, Lord. This is David's attitude too. Both David and Billy Graham's attitude actually is something God has long sought after each one of us. He walked an extra mile to give us an invitation through King Solomon in Proverbs 3:5-16. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your way, acknowledging him, and he will make straight your path. We all very familiar with this passage, right? We're familiar with that. We know, you know, this is God's invitation for us. So God always asks us to trust him and rely on him. Trust and reliance is his invitation for us. How can we benefit from it? The catch or the key point here is not whether we know God's promise exists. It's not even whether we believe God's word. God's promise like this. The key thing is whether we are hesitated to embrace, to allow God to guide us in our life. We may have a lot of questions in our heart. Really? Can God solve my problem? I have a lot of problems. I have a financial problem. I have a health problem. I have a work problem. I have a relationship problem. Can this one God solve all my problems? Is he really reliable? Can I really trust myself into him? I can't see him. I can't touch him. Can I really rely myself and trust myself into his hand? If you think that those questions are serious enough, probably you think that, well, this is quite open, right? You are really willing to do some soul searching. You will find out there's still one question deep in the deepest corner in our heart. That question is, oh God, if I call you God, will you show up when I really need you? Will you show up? Don't give me lip service. Don't fail me. Can I really count on you? Will there be a no-show when I truly need you? That is that very question make us hesitate to embrace God's word, brothers and sisters. That very question in your heart, in my heart. When I need you, Lord, will you really show up? Will you show up? Right? Do you want to find an answer? The answer is only you can find the answer yourself. Yes, there are a lot of people. They give us testimony. They already witness, you know, how faithful God is. It's how reliable he is. How powerful he is that can transform our life. Yes, God also invites us personally so that he invites us to trust him. Remember, in the book of Malachi, God said, just send your tithing into God's house and see how it can open the window of heaven and pour all those blessings onto you. God invites us and God asks us, try me, so that you know how reliable, how true I am. However, no matter God said, no matter what these witnesses said, they are all external factors to your life and my own life. Unless we take a step of faith, we cannot turn our knowledge, that piece of information, into our experience. We can never address a question deep in our heart unless we take a step of faith. Then we can find out an answer for it. This is the only way. This is God's invitation for you and for me. How do we respond to it? Trust and reliance are two very, very important factors to lead a life of experiencing God. If you say, Pastor Philip, I do want to live this. Where shall I start? Where shall I start so that I can start living a trust and reliance life? Here's one suggestion. If we really want to start, let's start with following the Holy Spirit that Jesus has promised already in your life and my life. Follow his guidance, okay? Let's pray to him. Pray to him for one thing or one Bible verse. Ask him to give it to you. And say, oh, and then you say, all right, you make a decision to fully trust him. Okay? Believe that he will guide you and trust him when he prompts you, when he leads you to do that. And when he leads you in the process, you and I will be able to experience how true it is, how faithful it is, how reliable it is. Only you and I can find out the answer from these deep, deep, deep questions in our heart for ourselves, for yourself, for myself. Only we can do it. The question is, are you willing to experience? Are you willing to experience him? Are you willing to take one step in faith? To turn your expectation into a real life experience? To turn your yearning into a blessing life that, yes, Lord, you are so real. You are so true. If you are willing and yearning to do that, let's start to sing this song of response with a prayerful heart. Let's start singing it quietly before the Lord. You may be able to sing it out loud. Can we advance to the next slide for me, please? Don't let how familiar you have been with this song disturb you. Just between you and the Holy Spirit, between you and God. Ask him.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me.
You want to ask him?
This is my daily.
To prompt you one thing or one passage that you can experience God.
This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread.
That's your Bible, friends.
Your very
word
spoken to me.
Can we all rise? Just tell the Lord.
And I am lost without you.
It might take humility for us to admit this.
This is the air.
But in fact, it's true.
This is the air.
This is the air I breathe.
Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily.
I'm desperate for you.
And
Lord, God has promised you and I. He's a good Father. When we ask for bread, He will not give us stone. When we ask for fish, He will not give us snake.
This is my daily bread.
When we ask for a sandwich, He will not give us just a plain bread.
Yes, it is.
He always wants to give us the best things.
This is my daily bread.
He hears.
You've
He hears our yearning for Him.
Spoken to me. One more time, I'm desperate.
Ask Him to guide you. Ask Him to allow you to experience.
I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you.
Yes, Lord. As we all stand before you, we all want to experience you. You are already the one that we believe. You are already the one that we call Lord, the one we call God. Lord, we are yearning for a closer relationship with you. We don't want to live a mediocre life. We want to live one that the abundant life that you have promised will be fulfilled in us. Lord, this morning we want to pray to you. We want to pray to you. We are willing to submit to you. Not according to what we think. We are willing to let go our hesitation, our question from within, to fully trust into your word and your teaching, Lord. No matter we understand or not, we are willing to follow you. Holy Spirit, we are willing to follow because you are the one who can help us to understand the truth. May you lead us. May you guide us. Help us to experience your faithfulness and trustworthiness in our daily walk, in our life. Thank you. Thank you for your promise, and thank you for listening to our prayer. We firmly believe the door will be open because we have knocked, and you promise you will open the door for us. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Okay, let us move to announcements. Don't have any newcomers. So, Easter egg hunt, March 16th, happening